All right, so today I want to talk about something that might seem very basic and kind of simple, but I ask you to listen and see if God might say something to you. It's something that I feel like I've been just kind of thinking about, and God's been saying things to me, and so I just wanted to share with you. So what does it mean to be a Christian? It seems like a very simple question. We go to a Christian church. We believe in Christian doctrines. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that God created everything. That's what we're all about, right? But is that all it really is? Is that what it means to be a Christian? Is it going to church, giving an offering, serving in a ministry maybe, and believing all the right things? But that's not really what Christianity is based on. Does it mean that we believe, you know, that God is the creator, that we've sinned, that Jesus had to come and die for us, all those things that are the plan of salvation? Is it enough just to believe that? I would like to say that believing that isn't enough. The scripture says that the demons believe, but they tremble. They know the truth. They know who Jesus is, why he came to earth. They know that God is the creator of everything, but they don't have the kind of faith, or they're not Christians, obviously. So what does that mean for us? I've been doing some study of systematic theology, which is kind of just studying theology, which is the study of God. And so it's kind of huge, but there's been a little bit of history study that I've done through it. And one of the things that happened in Christianity through the centuries is that philosophers started thinking about all the proofs for God and started, you know, kind of the whole area of apologetics, which means kind of defending the faith. So they eventually came to a point where they felt like you could reason enough to believe that God is real, that he is true, and all this is truth, and that would be enough to make you a Christian, if you could believe all these things. So is Christianity just something that you can figure out is true, and then you just believe it, and is that all there is to it, or is there more? So I was just reading through scripture and started thinking about people who had met Jesus. And so I just want to talk about a few of them, and most of you have heard these stories, but maybe just kind of listen and think about it. So the first one I want to talk about is Zacchaeus. He's a great one for children's church or Sunday school stories because he was short, kind of like a kid. But anyway, so he was a hated tax collector. And in the time of Jesus, Rome was ruling over Israel, and they were very oppressive. And the tax collectors were Jews who were working for the Romans. And so they were like traitors. But not only were they working for the government that everybody hated, they were also taking more money than they were supposed to, and they would just pocket it. And so they were very rich also. So they were considered to be just the worst of the worst. And Jesus got in trouble a lot of times for being friendly to them. Well, so Zacchaeus, being short, climbed into the tree. You know the story. And as Jesus came to him, he went to his house. And then Zacchaeus, like, had a total change. He said, I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor. And I don't know about you, but half of my possessions is quite a bit. And so that would be hard. But then he also said that whoever he had taken money from wrongly, he was going to pay them back four times as much. That's a lot. And so we can see that he really had a change in his life. So then the second person I want to talk about is the woman who was caught in adultery. And this is a woman who the religious leaders brought to Jesus, and they said that the law of Moses said she should be stoned. And I have no idea where the man was, because it takes two to commit adultery, but somehow it was just the woman that they brought to Jesus. But it seems like they weren't really wanting to just follow the law, but they were trying to catch Jesus because they knew that he was friendly to sinners and people that they considered bad. And so they were trying to catch him being like breaking the law. So this, you guys have probably heard the story, but he manages to get rid of all those self-righteous people. And then he looks at the woman and says, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. So can you imagine being this woman? You think you're going to die. People are going to throw rocks at you until you're dead. That is not a very pleasant thought. And instead, she's given life, and she's told to sin no more. She's given freedom from sin. So her life changed radically when she met Jesus. The last person I want to talk about is Paul. Paul actually met Jesus later, after he had died and risen again and ascended back to heaven. And he was He was a religious leader who really thought he was doing the right thing. He was persecuting the Christians because they were wrong, as far as he knew. He had studied the Old Testament. He knew it backwards and forwards, and he really, really wanted to serve God. But so what he was doing was taking all these Christians that he thought were just off the wall. They had some wrong teaching, and he would arrest them and throw them in prison. So he's on this road, you guys have heard, on the road to Damascus, and he had a letter from a priest saying that, yes, he had permission, he had authority to arrest any Christian he found. Well, a light shines on him, and Jesus speaks to him, so he meets Jesus personally in this situation. And he makes a total about face. He's going this way. He turns around, goes the opposite direction. He becomes one of these people that he has thought were the worst people around. And he starts preaching and teaching about Jesus. So his life totally changed. So it's kind of interesting when you meet someone, you never know what might happen. I remember when I first met Kelly, I had been at the YWAM base. YWAM stands for Youth with a Mission. That's what David was mentioning when he said YWAM. I don't know if you guys all know what that means, but it's Youth with a Mission, which is a missionary organization, and that's where Kelly and I actually met. So I had been working down in Salem at the school, and I'd heard about this team that was down in Belize, and that there were several people down there working, and I'd meet them one by one as they came back from to the U.S., and that there was still this one guy I'd never met. His name was Kelly Coho. I saw his name, and oh, I've never met this guy, so I guess someday I will. And then I heard he was coming back to be on staff about the same time that I was going to be on staff, and so I knew I would meet him, and so then we were at a staff conference soon after that, and we all got introduced, and then he came up and said hi to me afterwards, introduced himself, and I thought, oh, he's a nice guy, you know. And then after a few days, we had talked a few more times, you know how you just kind of get to know people a little bit, and I wrote in my journal, Kelly Coho is a very friendly guy. I need to be careful. So anyway,
thank God
you follow advice. So anyway, my life changed. I met Kelly and my life changed. Obviously, I became Mrs. Kelly Coho. So meeting someone can have major consequences. You never know what might happen in any meeting, any time. You just never know. Well, I think that becoming a Christian can simply be described as meeting Jesus. It's not just beginning to believe a bunch of doctrines, and it's what happens when we meet Jesus. So, have you met Jesus? Might be a simple question. You might say, oh, yes, of course I have, but I want you to think about that. It might seem like a hard question to answer, or maybe you know exactly what it means. Maybe you had a definite point in time when you know that you met Jesus, where you had just a radical experience. That's something that is Kelly's story, if you've heard of it. He was a drug addicted guy who went to the altar and changed radically. My story isn't like that, so there are different stories, so I don't know what yours is. But for some of you, meeting Jesus might seem kind of hard to really pinpoint or kind of unreal. How do you meet somebody that you can't see? It seems easier to just say, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to start believing what they believe. I'm going to start living my life according to all this. And we feel like that's all we know to do. But I'd like to say that if you meet Jesus, your life will be changed. You won't be the same. So maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, or maybe just a little bit of time, and you know it happened, and you've been living your life for him. So why talk about meeting Jesus in a church like this, where probably most of you have met him? Why should we worry about that? Why am I talking about that now? Why shouldn't we move on to something that's deeper, more spiritual, something like deeper in the Word? Well, meeting Jesus is the beginning of a lifetime of getting to know him, and that's what it means to be a Christian, is to be in relationship with him and to get closer and closer to him. That's all it's really, really about. Sure, there are other things involved, like growing to be like him and dying to ourselves, making sure he is, you know, we're following his way and things like that. But really, it all stems from our relationship with him and getting closer to him. Sometimes, though, our Christian life just seems to become a habit. We just do what we've been doing, and we kind of forget about this knowing Jesus stuff. And sometimes then people get excited about all kinds of other things, like end time prophecies or their favorite teacher or books or whatever it might be. And sometimes it could even be good things. Several years ago, Youth with a Mission, the place I was just telling you about, it's an international organization. God seemed to be leading them to buy a ship that they were going to use for what they called mercy ministries. So they would bring doctors and dentists to places where people didn't have access to those things. And they would go to disaster-struck areas and help people. And it seemed like a really good thing. And then it seemed like God was really leading them to do it. They had a ship. They were given money for it. People were giving them paint to paint the whole thing. And somebody who was a decorator was going to fix it all up nice. People were giving them food that they would be able to distribute. And they were really, really excited. It really seemed like God was leading them in this whole thing. And then just before they were going to have a big meeting and talk about it and kind of finalize everything, the leader, who is Lauren Cunningham, he had a vision. And he saw himself speaking to all these people, and they're all cheering and just excited. And then all of a sudden, out of the corner of his eye, he saw someone in the shadows. And then he realized it was Jesus, and Jesus was grieved. And he was grieved because he was being ignored. He was all forgotten about. People were just excited about ministry or this thing that was going to be good, but his place was forgotten. And so it can even be good things that distract us from knowing Jesus. It could be ministry. It could be all kinds of things where he's gifted us, different things. But we need to remember that Jesus himself needs to be our first love. He is our focus. So sometimes we just need to be reminded about this, that it's all about Jesus. And that's just what I want to do today. I'm sharing about this because it seems like this is what God's been doing in me lately. I've been a Christian most of my life, and I've seen God doing a lot of things in my life. I've taken courses in Bible, theology, and pastoral studies. But sometimes I need to be reminded of Jesus himself, that he is the center of everything I believe. If it wasn't for him, we would not be here. It's the foundation for everything we do. And only through knowing him will we find fulfillment in our lives. So I just started paging through my Bible, and it was amazing. It's like I'm reading some of these things for the first time, how everything points to Jesus. So I just want to read a few scriptures, just kind of randomly, not really randomly, but just kind of one after the other, and just kind of go through them and just listen to them. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Colossians 2:2-3, that their hearts, speaking of believers, may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. 1 Corinthians 1:23-24, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Amen. So these verses all point to Jesus as being the central thing for us. The Old Testament has verses about him as well. Through prophetic writings and other writings, he's all the way through Scripture. And this is what it means to be a Christian, to put our trust in Jesus and what he has done. Karl Barth was a Swiss theologian who is often regarded as the greatest theologian, Protestant theologian of the 20th century. He wrote volumes of books, and he was a university professor. He even was involved in opposing Hitler and the Nazi regime. His influence went beyond the academic realm to mainstream culture, and he was even featured on the cover of Time magazine in 1962. There is a Center for Barth Studies at Princeton Theological Seminary. So here's a guy who's really studied the Bible. One time he was speaking at the University of Chicago, and after his lecture, a student asked him if he could summarize his whole life's work in theology in one sentence. He wanted to, and I checked this to make sure this was a true story, and I'm quite sure it is. So a student said, what's the most, in one sentence, how could you describe your work in theology? And this is what he answered. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So he took a simple children's song and a line about the love of Jesus, and that to him was the most important thing. We need to remember that. We need to remember that it's what Jesus has done for us that's central to our lives and his love for us. This is what Christianity is all about. There's nothing more profound. It's all about him. He is why we are here today. He's the cornerstone of our faith. He's the one our lives are based on. We need to remind ourselves of this. There is no deeper truth, no special revelation. The way we go deeper is by knowing Jesus more deeply, more closely. So if we've been believers for years or just for a short while, I think we need to remind ourselves of this. And all we need to ask God to continue to give us fresh revelation of this, because it does sometimes just become so familiar. We need to just keep coming back to him and saying, just give me fresh revelation. So for those who haven't met Jesus, what does this mean? Is it just having a strong emotional experience? Maybe you've prayed and asked him to show himself to you and nothing has really happened. Or does meeting Jesus just come by a choice to believe in him? How do you know if you've met Jesus? Some of you might know, but some of you might not be sure. When Zacchaeus met Jesus, he was willing to do anything. He gave his possessions and his money. He changed. He was willing to do whatever Jesus wanted him to do. We don't really hear about what happened to the woman who was caught in adultery, but I'm pretty sure when Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more," I think she was so thankful for her life that it was totally changed and she didn't go and she went and didn't sin anymore. And when Saul met Jesus, he was Saul at first before he became Paul, he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" That was his first question. When he realized that Jesus was speaking to him, "What do you want me to do?" And then he obeyed. He stopped doing what he was doing and he just did what Jesus said he should do. So with all of these people, they didn't make changes in their lives first. They didn't get themselves straightened out and then start coming to church. They didn't try to do things that would make Jesus accept them or make their life better. Instead, they met Jesus and their life was changed. And part of that change is that they started doing what Jesus said they should do. And I think that's one of the keys. I think probably the main key to meeting Jesus when we come to him is to surrender. And that's kind of a scary word for a lot of people, because surrender means you're giving up. It's kind of like what David said. And when you surrender, you give up what you're wanting to do with your life and letting him say what you should do. So it's not an emotional experience. It's not just a set of beliefs. Those probably and often are involved, especially the set of beliefs, but surrender is the key. And as we grow in our relationship with Christ, we come to new places of surrender as well. Kind of like David said, he's realizing that God should be first. And he's put God first before, but you come to like a greater and greater place of saying, "Oh man, I'm holding on to this still. I didn't think I was." It's like God just tells us a little bit at a time, because if we realized it all at once, we couldn't handle it. So right now, there are some areas that God's working in me, and one of them is that I feel like I don't always obey him in what I do with my time. I'll be thinking, "Oh, I really should get this done," and then I just go and waste time on something else, and the next thing I know, I'm frantically trying to get this really important thing done that I had left. And if I just listened to the Lord and done it, things would have been more smooth. And so it's kind of an area that's specific to me right now, but I think everyone has areas where we feel like God might be saying something, and sometimes it's just hard to obey and to surrender and to let him have his way. So that's where some of us struggle. Are we really willing to let him totally be the boss? What if he asks us to do something we don't want to do? Or what if he asks us to stop doing something we like doing? What if he asks us to go to someone we can't stand and make a relationship right with them? Or what if he takes away someone or something we love? Or what if he makes us suffer? And that's kind of something I sometimes think about. There are a lot of what ifs that make us afraid from being willing to surrender fully. We think that if we surrender, God's just going to do every mean thing he can think of to us. That he'll just say, "Oh, okay, you're going to let me do whatever I want. Well, I'm going to do whatever I want." And so we think it's going to be bad. And that's because we don't really know him very well. So sometimes I think it's that we just want to run our own lives. We want to just do what we want. We really don't want to give that up. We don't want to give that to someone else to be able to have the say in what we're going to do or where we're going to live, who we're going to marry, or anything like that. That just seems really hard to let go. I think another reason that it's hard for us to surrender to him is that we don't really believe that he's good. We think that he's going to be mean to us. We think that he's just going to make us miserable if we give him everything. But God really is good. And that's something that we could all kind of ask him to give us revelation of as well. He is good. And he only wants what's good for us. It's kind of like me. When I want to do what I want with my time, when I don't feel, I just want to do what I want because I feel like it. But if I listen to God and obey him, my life is so much better and more smooth. I'm not getting frantic and running around like because I didn't get something done that I needed to do. I'm a very task-oriented person, in case you haven't realized, but this is the area God's working in my life. But God really is good. And when he asks us to give something up or to do something, it's for a very good reason. So I'd encourage you to read your Bible and look at the life of Jesus also and see how he treated people that came to him that were open. He is a reflection of God, and he is good. So I want to read the verses that were read to us earlier from Philippians 3. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, or garbage, as the other version said, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. These verses speak of the most important thing. It is knowing Jesus. And meeting Jesus involves letting him change our lives and surrendering to him. So all of you here may be at a different place in your life. Maybe you came to church for a number of reasons. Maybe there were good reasons. You just needed a place to belong, and you just found a family here. Maybe you realized that your lifestyle needed to change, and you needed to just do something that it wasn't working the way it was. Or maybe you were desperate, and this was your last-ditch effort, and you came here because nothing else worked. Maybe you came because you really wanted to meet Jesus. There's all kinds of reasons that people come to church. Well, sometimes we get here, and then we meet him, and then we stick around for all kinds of reasons, too. Maybe we have found a place to belong, and we like the family, and we're going to stick around. And we come here because we like being here. Sometimes it's just a habit. It's something every Sunday we get up, and we kind of just come, and we sing, and it has just become so familiar that it's almost more like a habit. Maybe you have found a place of ministry. God has brought you and helped you grow, and you found a place of ministry, and you feel really fulfilled. That's a good thing, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to know Jesus. So sometimes we need to be reminded about that, about the reason that we're here. He's the one who suffered and died to bring us into a relationship with the Father through him. And it's the story of the universe that's greater than anything. It's the central point of everything that's happened. It's the love story that surpasses all other love stories. So what is the most important thing? It is to meet Jesus and to grow in your relationship with him. This is the most simple message I could ever give. I was actually really afraid about giving this message because it just seemed like this is too simple. But because of how God has been speaking to me about it, I realized that in my life, sometimes it's gotten too familiar. And so that's why I wanted to share it with you. So as we worship, I'd like you to think about your relationship with Jesus. Has it just become a habit? Or do you love him, and are you growing closer to him? I've heard that wherever you are in your walk with Jesus, you're either getting closer to him or you're moving away from him. There's no way of just staying in the same spot. So if you're not moving closer to him right now, then it's very possible you're moving away from him. So I would just encourage you to think about that and seek to know his goodness and love for you as well so that you know you can trust him with your life. So seek for the most important thing. So let's worship.